Really glad to come and to be with you guys. It's been too long since I've been here. So I was really looking forward to today. It's so nice. It's funny, just even driving over here, just felt like, just so comfortable, like coming back home. So I just really appreciated this time for Barry to come and to ask me to come to share with you guys. And so before we kind of jump in, I just want to say that I love you guys so much. For those that are new, you're still part of my family too. So this is my family coming back here. So I really wanted to just start out by just thanking you guys so much for being a part of my life, my family's life, and just walking together with me in this journey that the Lord has me on. So today we're going to, I'm going to be part of the series that we've been going through, which is the Kingdom of God, okay? And so we've been using, and I say we because, did I tell you, I think I shared with you that I watch every single message, so I know exactly what you guys are going through. I'm tracking with everything the Lord's doing here. I watch every single message. So we've been going through the Kingdom of God, and we've been using this definition that Ross had talked about, which is, the Kingdom of God is where God reigns supreme and Jesus is King. Okay? Let's look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 18. Okay, this is where Paul is speaking. He says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 18, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Okay, so we see that when we look at this definition of the kingdom, we're talking about Jesus being the king. But in this verse here, we're getting the other half of the kingdom. Okay, and I don't know if that's half-half, but the other part of the kingdom, because we have a king, but what's missing in the kingdom? We have a king, we also need subjects. That's us, okay? So we're going to look at Jesus being the king, and we'll talk about that today, but we're also going to look at us being in the kingdom as the subjects of the kingdom that belong to the king, okay? So when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to see that God is, he's going to be our God, but then he's also our Father. He's also our Father. So I'm going to ask this question. If God is the king and he is our father, then what does that make us? Okay? I know it's a little early in the morning to try to get your brain thinking, but let's put those two together. If God is the king and he is our father, then what does that make us? Then we're princes and princesses. Is that right? Right? If God is the king, and he is our father, we're his kids, and our father's the king, then that makes us princes and princesses, right? It's so funny because for those that have been here a while, like you've heard Pastor Barry say this, like, I don't know how many times. I didn't keep like a tally of how many times he said this, but he's talked about different times of us being princes and princesses, right? And to be honest, I could be honest, right? That just made me so uncomfortable, right? That is so uncomfortable, right? And he would actually say, hey, everybody say, I am a prince or I am a princess. He'd make us all say it out loud, okay? And, you know, I was on staff at the time, so I guess I should say it. So I would say it out loud, I am a prince, okay? But let's be honest when we're saying, am I feeling that from the heart? No, I'm not. I'm just saying it with my mouth, right? I'm not really saying it with any kind of belief, any kind of conviction that I'm a prince, and then for you ladies, that you are a princess, okay? But the question I have for us is, if this is not something that we believe, if this is something that's difficult for us to embrace, why? Because we just got through going through the different pieces, right? It's actually true, right? Jesus is King. He's our Father. Then that's a true reality for us. Okay, so if we're having trouble embracing this, I think there are some different reasons, okay? So, A, you don't believe that God is King. Okay, that could be one reason why you don't feel like you're a prince or a princess. B, you don't believe that you're his children. Okay, so God is a king, but I don't believe that I belong to him, that I'm his son or daughter. Okay, or C, which I think is probably the case for a lot of us, is we won't let ourselves consider putting A and B together. Okay, so do I believe God is king? Yeah, I believe God is king. Do I believe that I'm his son or I'm his daughter? Yes, I believe that I'm a son or daughter. But if we put the two together, oh, no. I don't want to mix those things together. Some kind of explosion is going to happen if I mix those A and B together. That's not okay. That's not good. Let's not put those together. Let's keep those things separate. God is the king. Yes, he reigns. He reigns. Yes, okay, I believe in that. I'm his son and I'm his daughter. Yes, I want to believe that. But let's not put those two together. Because when you put those two together, you come up with some other combination that I don't feel comfortable with. That I don't feel comfortable saying that I'm royalty. I don't feel comfortable saying that I'm a prince. I don't feel comfortable saying that I'm a princess. And there's a lot of different reasons why that might be the case. I think some of it is, you know, Hollywood, to be honest. Like, they've really stayed, especially for the ladies, okay? Because, you know, when someone says that you're a princess, that's not positive, right? You're such a princess. That's actually a dig, right? That's something negative when they say that you're a princess, okay? When we look at that and we have those ideas, I think that that's hard for us to embrace. But I think one of the reasons it's hard for us to embrace is because we don't really allow ourselves to think of ourselves that high. We won't allow ourselves to even entertain the idea that we could be a prince or a princess. And to be honest, when Pastor Barry would say that in the past and make us say it out loud, and I would say it in my mouth, I couldn't say it in my heart because I couldn't go to that place. I wouldn't let myself consider that I could be of that high value and that high worth. Because really, I live my life not this way, not as a son, not as a prince or princess, not as a royalty, but as an orphan. That's how I live my life. I live my life believing I was an orphan and not a son of God, not a son of the king, not a royalty. When you think about an orphan, you think about all the characteristics of an orphan, what do you think about? You think about someone who's like alone. They're on their own. That described me. You think about someone who's fearful. You think about someone who can't let go of control because they're afraid. They want to hold on to everything in their life. They want to control everything in their life because of fear. When you have the orphan spirit, that this is the way that your mentality is going, this is your heart position, that you're one of insecurity, that you're one of fear, the one that you're by yourself. This is like the orphan spirit that I carried for so many years, and what the Lord is trying to break me free from, because that's not the reality of who I am anymore. But that's how I've been living. That's how I've been perceiving myself. That's the reason I can't think higher. That's what I can't even embrace, this truth that is actually true. But I can't receive it. Did you know that even though if you don't think yourself as a son or a daughter, even if you don't think of yourself as royalty, that doesn't matter? It's still true. The fact that you don't believe it, the fact that you don't receive it, the fact that you can't embrace it, does that change the fact that it's true? It doesn't. It doesn't change it. It doesn't change the reality that God is the king. It doesn't change the reality that he adopted you. It was his choice, not your choice. He chose you. You accepted that, and you were received, and you were adopted into his kingdom, where he is the Father and he is the King. Does that change if you believe it and being able to receive it and to live it out? It doesn't change anything. It's still true. It's true whether you embrace it or not. It's true whether you have confidence in it or not. It's true if you experience it or not. So the question is, do you want to receive it? Because it's going to be true either way. Whether you receive it or you don't receive it, it's still true. So then really the question is, if it's true, then why don't I receive it? If we think about who we are and our identity in Christ, there's a wide range, okay? So let's take a look at this range, going from servant all the way up to what we just talked about as like a royal priest, okay? So this is kind of the way that I had viewed it in the past, okay? So this is different things that the Bible says is true about us, right? That we're a servant, okay? In John 15, Jesus says that we're friends of God, okay? We talked about being a son or a daughter, and the Bible talks about us being heirs and then royal priests, okay? And this is the way I kind of viewed it. It's like the bottom is like you go to kindergarten or elementary school, and then you graduate. Okay, you graduate from becoming a servant to now I'm a friend of God. And then you graduate from being a friend of God to now being a child of God. And then you graduate from being a child of God to being an heir. And then you graduate from being an heir to being a royal priesthood. And this is the way that I viewed it. Okay, but the Lord started showing me this is not correct. This is not correct. The way we should be viewing it, if we have the next slide, is like this. This is not something you graduate to. This is not something that you go and you start at this low level and you start working yourself up to feel like you're royalty and then you're prince or princess. Really, this is describing a range of who you are. Okay? This is like this is not some graduation that you have to attain to. You don't have to build up and try to gild up into your faith and your authority to start believing that you are royalty. You don't have to work your way up to that. The whole thing about this latter thing, the way I viewed before, is like you have to graduate. You have to work hard. There's something on your part that you have to keep increasing from glory to glory, or however you want to describe it. That's not true. The reality is we're all of these all at the same time. We're all of these. This is like a range describing of who we are. This is like different roles a part of who, what we play. Okay, so I was thinking about this, just like this being a range of what we are, and I thought about my daughter. So my daughter sings at the choir at her school, and she's been singing a long time, right? She's been singing, well, since junior high, she was in choir, so for the past 4 or 5 years, she's been in choir. And my daughter loves to sing, and I didn't know anything about choir. I don't know anything about this, like, soprano and alto and all those different, I didn't know anything about any of those things. So I'm trying to learn, trying to be a good dad, I'm trying to learn what she's doing, ask her different questions about, you know, how our choir is going. So she's telling me how she loves to sing soprano, okay? The really, really high, break the glass kind of thing. She really loves to sing soprano, okay? And then she was sharing with me how disappointed because she wasn't in the soprano group, that she was in the tenor group, okay, which is like a couple down, right? And so she was describing how because there's no guys, right? The choir has like all girls and there's only a few guys, so she had to be in the tenor group, okay? Not in the group that she wanted to be in, the soprano. And then I was just encouraging her to say, isn't that kind of amazing that you could be tenor and soprano? Like you got a big range. Right? And I was trying to encourage her, like, you have a really big range, and look what you're doing for the group because God has given you this big range. You're able to serve the group because that group needs you to be in this place. And I just realized, wow, she has, like, a big range in her voice, and I was just trying to encourage her. You and I have a big range from servant all the way to royalty. We have God's given us a big repertoire, a big range of who we are. But to be honest, we don't come over here to this right side. We're all always on the left side. We're not experiencing the full range of who God made us to be. We're not experiencing the full range of who we are in Christ. We're not experiencing that because we won't even allow ourselves to even think that. Just like I said, when you live your life thinking that you're an orphan, that you're not a child, you can't experience the full range of who God made you to be. You can't. You won't let yourself. We need to break free. We need to stop agreeing with our past experiences, past failures, past things that we thought about ourselves that we thought were true. We need to stop making agreement with those things. Those things are not true about who you are in Christ. You're not trash. You're not useless. You're not worthless. All these things that you've condemned yourself with, all these things you thought to yourself, all those things you've even spoken to come out of your mouth are not true. They were who you used to be as an orphan, separated from God. That might be true of what you thought. That's not true anymore. We have to start embracing the reality of who we really are in Christ. Who is our real identity? Who we really are because of who He is. We got to stop agreeing with these false ideas. I'm an orphan. I'm alone. I'm useless. I'm helpless. I'm worthless. I'm trash. All these things, we need to stop agreeing with those things. You know, the Lord has started, this is not new, right? The Lord has been speaking to me for this for a long time. He's been speaking this message to me. But one of the things that really made me be more firm about this, because this is not new, right? You've heard this before. So it's not information, it's not the what, it's the so what, okay? It's the so what. It's not something that you don't know, but if you do know it, then what does it actually mean? You actually have to do it, right? And one of the things the Lord helped me with is He was saying, okay, you're thinking yourself as an orphan, okay? That's not true. And I was like, yeah, that's not true, Lord. You know, I shouldn't think of myself like that. And then I'm kind of down on myself some more. Like, I'm just reinforcing that kind of orphan spirit. And the Lord told me, is like, this is not how I see you. And I was like, yeah, okay. You don't see me like that. And He said, you're not agreeing with me. And I was like, yeah, that's true. I'm not agreeing with you. But then He asked me another question. He said, well, if you're not agreeing with me, who are you agreeing with? Uh-oh. I was like, what? He said, if you're not agreeing with me, then who are you agreeing with? Satan? And that really took me back. It's one thing to not agree with the Lord, which actually I think is worse than not agreeing with agreeing with Satan, but at the time you just feel like, okay, I'm just not receiving something good. Okay? I'm just not receiving something good that I should get. But when He said that I'm making agreement with Satan, that changed it for me. You cannot do that. Stop making agreements with the enemy. Stop agreeing with the enemy. Stop agreeing with the world. Stop agreeing with Satan. Stop agreeing with the kingdom of darkness and start living like you're in the kingdom of light. Start living like you are part of the kingdom. Start living like God is your Father. Start living like you are His son and daughter. Start believing that you are royalty because He's the King, that it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with who He is and then how He sees you. We need to stop agreeing with the negative things that we think are true about us but really are not. Let's look at something that's going to help us, okay? Let's look at a couple of verses that I think will be helpful for us. Okay, so the first one is in Galatians 2:20. Okay, so again, not the what, the so what, okay? Let's look at this verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Okay, I love this verse. Okay, I memorized this verse, looked at this verse hundreds and hundreds of times. So I said, like I said, it's not the what, it's the so what. If this is true, then so what? If this is true, that I no longer live, that the person that I used to be died with Christ, if that's true, then I got to stop thinking this way that's true about me. If this is true, I have to stop thinking that's true about me. I can say that's who I used to be, but I can't say that this is who I am right now. When things come up in your life and things come up in your mind and things come up in your feelings that are bringing condemnation, that are bringing all this orphan spirit, you can recognize it. Don't just ignore it. Recognize it, but put it in the right place. And putting it in the right place says, that's who I used to be. But that person died with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. That person doesn't live anymore. But now Christ lives in me. That's not who I used, that's who I used to be, but who am I now? I'm living Christ's life. I'm living Jesus' life. Now, this is very important. We have to get this because this is going to be the key for us to be able to break out of this cycle that we're in. We have to understand what our new life is. What's our new identity? Our new identity is Christ living in us. Our new identity is His life. Our new identity is Him living His life through us. It's no longer our life. This is what the gospel is. If we think about the kingdom of God, this is the door. This is the entryway, right? How do you enter in? You enter in through the gospel. What's the gospel? I'm going to give up my life apart from God, and instead He's going to give me His life instead so I can walk through the door and be in the kingdom where He is the king and I am His son and daughter and I am royalty. I need to walk through the door and understand what the door is. I don't have another life. I'm not living my life anymore. I'm living Jesus' life. I'm not living my life anymore. I'm living Jesus' life. And He's living His life through me. If we don't understand this, we're never going to break out of this cycle. We're never going to experience the full range because we won't let ourselves. Because if we think being a son or a daughter or royalty is up to us, we're never going to feel like that's okay. We're never going to feel like it's okay. And here's the difference. Let's put this together. Okay? So if my new life is Jesus' life, what do I believe is true about Jesus? Do I believe He's awesome? Do I believe He's holy? Do I believe He's royal? Do I believe that's true about Him? Yeah, I don't have any problem believing that's true about Him. But then we have to go to the next step. And that's true about me. And why is it true about me? Because I'm living His life. I'm not living my life anymore, which is a good thing. Is it not? And that's a good thing. I don't have to live my life as an orphan anymore. I don't have to live a life where everything is on my shoulders. I don't have to live a life where I have to be in control of everything. I don't have to be a life where I'm dictating anything. I don't have to live a life that's so low because my abilities are so low and my strength is so low and my discipline is so low and all those things are so low. It's a good thing that we don't have to live that life anymore. I'm not living that life anymore. I'm living Jesus' life. We have to make that connection. Because we could say things like, Jesus, You're holy and You're righteous. But if we're not making the connection that that's my life too now, then we're never going to believe that's true about us. Your new life in the kingdom is Jesus' life. This is who you are. You're living Jesus' life. Like when I think about that, that just is mind-blowing. I can't even comprehend that. How do I get to live Jesus' life? Like, that doesn't seem right. You know, like, when you really think about it, that I get to live Jesus' life, that doesn't seem right. But it's not our choosing. It's His choosing. He chose it. He wants to live His life through you. And if you really can believe that, then you can really start experiencing the full range of who you are. Because you cannot believe it about him, so you need to believe it about yourself. So you need to say things like, I'm awesome and amazing because he's awesome and amazing, and he's my life. I'm holy and righteous and pure because he's holy and righteous and pure, and he's my life. We got to put it together. We got to put it together. So the first reason this is okay in Galatians 2:20, let's look at Colossians 3. It says something very similar. Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4 says, again, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Sound familiar? Sounds like exactly what we looked at Galatians 2:20, that Christ is now our life. Okay, so the first half is that if we experience this, then we will allow ourselves to think differently about ourselves. The second thing we need to see is, and this is where we started going full circle, that he's the Lord of our life, that he's the king. He's in charge and we're not in charge. It's his life. He's allowing us to steward it. It's his life, not ours. We need to let go of the reins. We need to let go of ownership of our life and ask the question, why wouldn't you want to do that? Do you think you can do better? Do you think you can do better? We need to ask ourselves this question. Do you think you can do better? How's it going for you? How's it going for you feeling like an orphan? How's it going for you feeling like you got to do it? Everything is on your shoulders. Everything is up to you. It's all your responsibility. You got to carry the load. Everything that's going on is on you. I don't know about you, but I don't want that anymore. I don't want to live that life anymore where I have to carry everything. I want to live a life where he carries it for me. Where Jesus is in charge when he is the king and I'm not the king. Notice that we're princes and princesses. We're not kings and queens. We're not sitting on the throne. He is. We need to be able to see that it's a good thing to let go. Your orphan spirit will say, no, don't let go. You will. Don't let go. Don't let go. You're not going to be okay if you let go. But this is where we have to step in with the mind of Christ and the truth of the word and say, no, it is going to be okay. And why would I even want to hold on to that? Why? When he's inviting us to so much more. You know, when we think about him being king and him ruling and reigning over our life, it could sound negative, right? And a lot of this, I have to say, is because of the orphan spirit, the way we've been thinking about that life. But when we look at the Bible, the things that the Lord says about us, all his commands, 1 John says his commands are not burdensome, that they bring life. Okay, but I think because we've been living this other way for so long, it feels heavy to think about, oh, God needs to be in control and he's going to tell me what to do. Because sometimes we've had negative experiences with authority, people telling us what to do. Okay, whether it's in our workplace, people abuse the authority. They tell you things to do that you don't want to do. Could be from our home, from our upbringing, from our parents. They're telling me things. They're bossing me around. They're telling me things that they don't believe about me. They don't trust me, da-da-da. Some of this because we've had bad human experiences. But God is not like that. Let me give you an example of how I think we should view it. Okay, so okay, it's kind of embarrassing. What did Trisha say? It's kind of embarrassing, kind of not. I'll just share it. Okay, I'm very directionally challenged. Okay, so I don't know. Like, if you were to tell me which way's east, I have no idea. Like, I could just point anywhere and say that's east or west or whatever. I have no idea. Okay, let me tell you how bad it is, just to give you context. Okay, so like, I remember like we're walking. And this is very common all the time. I'm like, we're walking in the mall. you know, walking with my wife, and then we're walking around, and like, oh, we're to get to someplace, and then, okay, we can kind of get there. We get to this store. Then we go in the store. We're spending time in the store, shopping and doing whatever, okay? And then after we exit the store, I don't know where I am. I don't know which direction to go. I don't know if I should go right or left. After I just walked over to the store, right? Somehow I got to the store, right? But once I exit the store, I don't know where I am, right? That's how bad my direction is, okay? So one of the biggest gifts from the Lord to me is something called GPS, okay? That has been a lifesaver to me, okay? Because I don't need to depend on that anymore. I could just relax. I could just relax, right? So let's say you're driving somewhere that you've never gone before, okay? Do you feel stressed? Do you feel stressed if you're driving somewhere that you've never driven before? I did in the past. I'd feel stressed about that. I'd have to break out the map. I'd have to write it all down. I would get stressed because, like, I've never been there before. That doesn't happen anymore. Why does it not happen? You just put it into the GPS, right? And then when you put it in the GPS, are you worried about what direction you're going to go? Are you worried you're going to make a wrong turn? Are you worried that you're going to miss this? Are you worried you're not going to get to the... No, you're just relaxed. You could just drive, talk to someone, talk to the Lord. And when the GPS says, turn right, you just turn right. I don't even think about it. To be honest, I don't even think about it. In the very beginning, I thought about it a little bit. You know, is this right? Where are they taking me? This is not the way that I would go. I thought about it a little bit. I don't think about it at all now, to be honest. When you have the GPS turn on, do you think about it? Do you question it? Is this the right way? Are they taking me the wrong direction? Are they going to take me into some, like, bad neighborhood? Or are they going to take me way off track where I'm going to be an hour late? Do you have those thoughts? When you have the GPS, when it's turned on, do you have those thoughts? No. You don't. You're very relaxed. Very relaxed. You're peaceful. He just tells you to turn, and you turn. At the next light, turn left. Okay, at the next light, I turn left. I don't think anything about it. Can I tell you that is a great, great example of Jesus being king? You just listen to what he says. It's not a big deal. We want to make it like this big, giant thing, but it's really not a big, giant thing. Let me just close by sharing just a couple, just small, small examples, okay? Small, small examples. Okay, so I'm on my prayer walk like I always do. I was walking down through my neighborhood, and actually prayer walk is when I practice the GPS. I practice listening to the Lord. I ask the Lord, where do you want me to go? You want me to turn right? You want me to turn left? And it's no big deal if I get it wrong, but I'm practicing. You got to practice. You got to practice listening to the Lord. You got to practice listening to what he says and actually doing it. So choose something low. Choose something, if you make a mistake, it's no big deal. Like if I'm walking to the corner and he says turn right and I think it's right and then I turn left, so what? I turn right instead of I turn left. Well, for me, I'm directionally challenged. It could be a bigger deal. It could be a bigger deal. But really, it's not a big deal. No one's going to die. Okay? But how often do we only check with the Lord on big things? Should I marry this person? Should I take this job? Should I go over here to this career? If you mess up here, the consequences are a little bit bigger. Why are we only going to practice on this? I remember when I was in college, this is when I first became a Christian, my college pastor was discipling me. And I remember we were at McDonald's, and then we were waiting in line, and he was praying, asking God what to order. Like, if he wanted him to get a Big Mac or a Filet-O-Fish, I don't remember what it was, right? And I was just thinking, this is weird. First, I just became a Christian, so I don't know what's weird or not, but this seems weird to me. This seems weird to me that he's asking God what to order for lunch, right? And have you heard of this word, like, over-spiritualizing? Okay, that sounds like Is really God concerned about what you're going to order at McDonald's? Seriously, don't you think he has more important things to think about than what you're going to order for lunch? That's what I thought, okay? And the Lord brought that memory to back recently and said, you know what he was doing? You know what you were making fun of? That's what I want you to do. I want you to do that. And then he was asking me, if I know all the number of hairs on your head, you think this is too small of a detail? If I know every single aspect of everything that's going on in your life, shouldn't you engage me? Don't you know that's how much I love you? Don't you know that's how much I care for you? That I want to be in everything that's going on in your life? Not just the big things that you can't take care of, not just the big things that you don't know, not just the big things you don't understand, not just when you're overwhelmed or feeling anxious, everything. Everything. He cares about everything. He cares about your whole person. He cares about every aspect of your life. He cares about enough to say, order the Big Mac instead of the fillet of fish today. He cares enough. So I'm on this prayer walk, and I'm just walking like I normally do, asking the Lord where to go. And then I start, out of the corner of my eye, I see something on the ground, and it's like some keys. And I remember earlier, I think, well, I don't know if it was the day before or that morning, I remember there was a truck parked right there. Okay, and I thought, oh man, whoever was parked in that truck must have dropped their keys when they came out. But then I was thinking, how did they drive away if that was their keys? So I was like, okay, maybe that's not it. Maybe that's not it. But, so anyway, this is where my mind goes. So I'm like, okay, I should just leave it there, though. I don't know whose keys there are. It's like in the middle of the street. Okay, so I was going to just walk away, but the Lord said, pick up those keys. I'm like, why would I pick up those keys? I don't know where to go. I don't know who to give it to. And then what if they come back? That's my human thinking, right? What if they come back and it's not there? They're missing their keys. But the Lord told me, pick up the keys. So follow the GPS. Pick up the keys. So I pick up the keys, and then I start walking. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with these keys, honestly. So I'm walking, walking, walking. And then I was going to go straight down this one street, but he said, turn here. Okay, and then this street is like a cul-de-sac. Okay, I've just learned. I just go wherever he tells me to go. So I just turned on the cul-de-sac, and I'm coming back down the cul-de-sac, and I'm just enjoying God. That's what I do in my prayer walk. I just try to enjoy God, just enjoy being with him. Okay, so I'm turning down the cul-de-sac, and then I turn the corner, and then there's this lady that comes. It's just one of my neighbors. And this lady always, I don't know if you know people, always has a scowl on her face. Always. Every day, she has a scowl on her face, like she's really, really angry. Okay, so whenever I walk by her, sometimes I try to say hi, and she totally ignores me. Totally ignores me. Like I didn't even exist, right? So I'm like, okay, that's all right. It's okay. I'm still going to be who I am. I'm still going to say hi. It doesn't matter if she responds. Okay, so I'm just kind of bracing myself to, like, come in contact with her. So she's walking by, and then she starts talking to me. I'm like, this has never happened before. She's never acknowledged me at all, unless she just gives me that little scowl. That's it. And then she starts talking to me. And then what does she ask me? Hey, I was walking earlier today, and I lost my keys. Have you seen, like, a pair of keys, the pair of keys right here? So I take it out of my pocket. I said, these keys? Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I was so stressed, and I was, like, telling my husband, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to find this. I don't know where I lost it, da-da-da-da. And she gave me this big smile, and I was like, what just happened? What just happened? Now, how did that happen? The Lord told me to turn right, picked it up, and that's it. Okay, let me tell you another. That's a very small story, right? Tell me another small story. Okay, so my wife, she was going to drive to Target, and something, I don't know if her car was in the shop or something like that, so she borrowed my son's car. Okay, so she took my son's car, she's going to go to Target. Okay, so while she's driving, the Lord says to her, fill up the car with gas, okay, just to like help him out, and you know, his poor college student, help him out, you know, pay for his gas. Okay, so she's like, okay, I'll do that. So she drives over to this plaza, and this plaza by our house, Target is on one side, and the gas station's all the way on the other side. Okay, so when we come, we always enter on this side next to Target. So she's entering in, she's gonna go to Target, and the Lord says, go get gas first. It's like, why would I get gas first? Like, I'm right here at Target, right? And so, but like GPS, she said, okay. So she goes all the way to the gas station. She goes to the gas station, and then they have the different pumps, right? There's like 1, 2, 3 in this line, and 1, 2, 3 in this line. And then, so she's driving up and going down one of the aisles. There's no one there. She's like the only car here, okay? And the Lord said, go to this pump. So she just goes to this pump, right? And I think it might have been the middle pump, which doesn't make any sense to me, right? If there's no one there, you should maybe go the first one or maybe the last one. Why would you stop in the middle one? That's in my mind, right? So she goes up, and then she goes to the pump. She gets out her credit card, and then she's about to put it in the slot, but she realizes, oh, there's another card in the slot. Okay, so she pulls out the card, and it's a debit card, and then she looks at the debit card and says, Stephen Cho. Stephen Cho is my son's best friend. I was like, oh my gosh. So she takes the card, she does her errand, she drives back home, and then she tells my son, hey, Isaac, and then tells, you know, the same story I told you, look what I got. So Isaac calls his friend, and his friend is like panicked, right? Like, dude, I just lost my debit card. Someone's going to steal it and take all the money out of my checking account, da-da-da, and steal my identity, da-da-da. And then my son said, he's so cool, collector, he's like, my mom has it. He's like, what do you mean by your mom has it, right? And then he's able to kind of share the whole story. And I just felt like, isn't God so amazing? Isn't he so fun? And I didn't share with you like a super spiritual, I could share with you some other stories about like listening to the GPS, but I just wanted to share with you some simple, like ordering at McDonald's, day-to-day, turn right here, turn left here, stories. Because God is pretty amazing. And we're pretty amazing too, because he's in us. He does all of that. I couldn't orchestrate that for that late my neighbor to come out right when I pick up the keys. There's no way Susan could have orchestrated that. If she went to Target instead of going to the thing, it might have been gone. If she didn't listen to her go to a specific gas pump, she would have never found that. God did that. She didn't do that. God did the one with me. I didn't do that. And what's our job? We have to turn on our GPS. Some of you, your GPS is off right now. It's not on. Some of you, your GPS is turned off. And then you're feeling stressed because you're getting no direction. You're getting stressed because his presence is not with you. You're getting stressed because when your GPS is off, it's all on you now to get where you need to go, to do what you need to do. When our GPS is turned off, we're not operating like a son or a daughter. We need to turn our GPS on. We need to get connected. We need to know that he loves us and is concerned about everything in our life, and we need to start asking him for directions. From the moment you wake up till you put your head on the pillow, start asking him for directions. Now, Pastor Ross gave a great, you know, message on this, and he had talked about this, how like, you know, do it at your workplace, do it at your school, do it wherever you are. You need to start turning your GPS on and asking God for directions on the simple day-to-day little things. When you do that, then you can experience more. We can experience the full range of who we are and what the kingdom of God is about. So I want to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to have a time of communion. And in this time of communion, I want us to think about a couple things. Okay, so when we take communion, what are we recognizing? Okay, when we take the top plastic thing off and take the little wafer, that wafer is representing Christ's body, where he died for you. But when you take that wafer, can you remember this morning that you also died? When you're remembering that Christ died, can you remember now you also died? That you don't have to live that old life anymore. You don't have to live as an orphan anymore. That's who you used to be, but that's not who you are. When you take that, can you thank God for that and remind yourself of that, of his death and yours, and to realize that he gave us that freedom so we don't have to live that life anymore. And then when you take the juice, it represents his blood. And one of the things that it does is forgiveness of sin, but it also cleanses. I think some of us, we just feel dirty living as an orphan. And I think as we drink the cup to remind us of blood, can we feel washed clean too? To say, Lord, I just want to be washed clean. I don't want to hold on to those stuff anymore. I don't want to live like an orphan because that's not who I am. Because that's not who you are. So we're going to pray, and I invite you to take communion, you know, whenever you felt led. And then remember that when you take the wafer and then the cup, to remind yourself of those things. So Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for being in the kingdom. We want to thank you that we don't live in the darkness anymore. We live in the light. That we are not dead, that we're alive. That we're not orphaned, that we're children of God. And more than children of God, that we're heirs. And more than heirs, that we're royalty. Because we belong to the King. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive that this morning. Help us to let go of the orphan spirit and come receive who we really are. Come receive who you really are. I pray that you would come and to bless us right now, even with your presence and your love. And help us to turn on our GPS as we do. Help our hearts to get connected with you and our minds to get connected with you this morning so that we could feel life and peace and joy and freedom living in the kingdom where you are a king. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.